Today on the Gorgeous Red Couch, we have author of the week, Carolyn Kirby, about her book, The Conviction of Cora Burns. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Carolyn.
It's so exciting to be here. Thank you, Donna.
Can you introduce us to your book?
Yes, my book is my debut novel. It's called The Conviction of Cora Burns. And Cora Burns is a protagonist. She's a kind of like her or hate her protagonist, we've found. She's a strong character who was born on the floor of a jail cell and has grown up in the workhouse, not knowing anything at all about her parents. She grows up haunted, really, by memories of something horrible that happened in the workhouse. And as an adult, tries to build a new life, working as a servant in the home of a gentleman scientist. And he is obsessed by a new study of heredity and psychology, which is in its infancy. In his house, the secrets that are in Cora's past start to unravel.
Yes. It is a novel packed with ideas. It's sort of bursting at the seams, as was The Time. It is set in Birmingham in the 1880s. And tell us, as you mentioned, the idea of hereditary traits, nature versus nurture, the infancy of psychology was going on at the time. Tell us some of the other things that were going on at the time which bear upon this story.
I set it at this time for a number of reasons. The decade, as you say, is really such an important one in the development of the world that we know. So much of what we currently live with, whether it's, you know, the bicycle,
photography
in a more modern form, suburban housing, growing up around all the big cities in England. So many people live in houses from that period. It's really the kind of birth of our modern age. But I set it specifically in 1885, not to give too much away, but there was an important court case in that year which surrounded a famous journalist called W.T. Stead. And he was a kind of paedophile hunter. And his attempt to expose a child prostitution ring actually backfired, and he ended up in jail. So this was a very famous case. It was in all of the papers. And when I read about it, I realised that it actually provided me with an answer to a very important plot point about how Cora might get her revenge on someone. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason that it's set in 1885. But I love that period because there are so many other things going on. And as I say, it's really the start of our modern way of living.
And bizarrely enough, despite this being such a fascinating time, it would appear that you are the only sort of British writer who has set a novel in those times.
So I understand. In Birmingham, which is our second city, it's an enormous conurbation, and there are quite a lot of novels that are set in Birmingham during the 20th century, but I can't find another one set there in the 19th century, whether it's a contemporary Victorian author that's written it or a more modern author. Mine might be the only one. So unless you know different out there, Radio Gorgeous listeners, please let us know. But I believe that to be the case.
Do you think that's just sort of off the topic of your book, but it occurs to me that that's kind of a reflection of a conversation that's going on now, that the country has been somewhat London-centric, even in its topic of novels?
Oh, well, I mean, that's evidently the case. Yeah. I mean, so many novels are set in London, whether it's a historic setting or a contemporary one. So many authors live and work in London. The publishing industry is obviously, you know, located in London and almost nowhere else. Yes, yeah, almost more than in any other field, London dominates.
Yeah. Anyway, so back to your story, because it starts out, we meet Cora. Well, it goes, there's various strands, if you help us unpick, but it's difficult because we don't want to give plot away.
Spoilers, yes.
Exactly.
Spoiler, yes.
Because there is a very intricate, slotted together,
yes,
well-crafted book, which has elements we don't want to give away. But, you know, as you say, she was born in the jail and moved directly from there to the workhouse. And that can't have been a unique path.
Exactly. And really, I suppose that's part of, you know, that one of the key inspirations for the novel was looking at this area of Birmingham, which you will now see in the new edition of the book, has a map showing you very clearly what Winson Green in Birmingham looked like in the 1880s. And it was absolutely dominated by this vast campus of poverty and misery, but also of buildings which were aimed to assist the very lowest in society. So the prison, which is still there, is still a working prison. It completely dominates the suburb. Right next to it was the Borough Lunatic Asylum. And then a very short walk along the canal from there was a vast workhouse and associated infirmaries. Just an amazing, you know, acres and acres of land devoted to these buildings, which were all there to be a safety net, I suppose, to the very lowest in society, or indeed to punish them for their position at that place.
And that is the title of the piece goes also to the heart of your book as well, because Cora seems to have been condemned basically at birth, you know, via being born in jail. Then she's already, her path is very restricted. She ends up coming out of that.
Yes.
But I think that probably would have been unique to her circumstances.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things I wanted to say really in writing the book, as you say, the theme of it is nature versus nurture, but it's how far each of our own paths is determined by where we start off from in terms of our biology and perhaps also our station in life. And really, the whole point of the novel for me is about how far can the individual, by the choices that we make, you know, create a better path and a better way of living.
And also for a woman at that time. Okay, so what choices can she make? What choices does society allow her as a woman who has the past that she has, you know, being in the workhouse, being in the jail, working at the lunatic asylum, and then being in service. I mean, your station didn't dictate choice. You know, I mean,
no,
there wasn't like a lot of choice.
But at the same time, I mean, that's also the very lovely thing about this particular period, is that it was, again, the start of women's choices and roles in society opening up and changing. You know, throughout the 19th century, you know, women worked in lots of different fields, but at the end, they started to branch out into more professional, more technical roles within the economy. And Cora's story perhaps reflects that a little bit in terms of her being born into a time where she could take advantage of that. So, you know, that's part of the story as well. Yes, the choices were very constrained, but as always happens in history, they, you know, they were changing, and certainly for women in a good way.
And for Cora, let's talk about Cora a bit, because you introduced her as a character, love her or hate her, the sort of Marmite character. She is written, I would say, with a modern perspective of her, where we're sort of more used to the warts and all and the very real sort of ugly underbelly we all have. Hers is more extreme. She is prone to intense violence, which can be, you know, for it, on the page, off-putting. Tell me a little bit about that, because she is a very strong character in that way
she
as
is.
Well.
And I mean, I think, again, that's one of the points about the nature versus nurture theme in this is the question, where does violence come from? You know, is that something that is inborn into certain people, or do circumstances, you know, create violence where perhaps otherwise in a life there would not be any? And that's the question, I suppose, for the reader to answer about Cora. But I wanted to make the point, really, that Victorian women, there is a stereotype that they're kind of silent and withdrawn from, you know, direct action in terms of lots of things. The reality is very different. There were some extremely feisty Victorian women around in the records. One of the key lives that I drew on, really, in writing Cora was a woman called Hannah Cullick, who was a domestic servant, the very lowest domestic servant, a scullery maid. But through her strange relationship with a gentleman, someone much higher than her in society, she left a very detailed record about her life and about her work. And she was a force to be reckoned with. You know, it would have been quite difficult being an employer of Hannah Cullick, I would say. You know, so there is no, so that the idea of the very downtrodden Victorian woman, I think, is a little bit of a stereotype. And I wanted to show that there were women as complex and as defiant as, you know, many women are today at all periods of history, but also perhaps particularly at this, when the relationship between the genders was changing.
I'm curious how this novel is very confidently written, and it does comprise a lot of different elements and themes and strains. And this is a debut novel. Tell me how you came to writing. I understand it came out of the Faber Academy, but how did you get there?
Right, well, I've been writing, I suppose, seriously for about 10 years. And it's been, you know, a long journey. It's not been particularly easy, as most writers find it's not. But it has been a progression. And so this book wasn't the very first one that I started with. I wrote one before that. But this is the first one where I felt, I suppose, a bit more confident in, as you say, pulling lots of different strands together. It came from the idea, you know, the nature versus nurture theme, I suppose, came from my daughters, who, as many parents probably feel, how did I produce two such different characters? You know, they've grown up in the same house, they've eaten the same food, you know, but they appear, when you look up those kind of like five indicators of personality, you know, kind of openness, conscientiousness, that sort of thing, those girls are on opposite sides of those spectrums. Now, you know, that's just fascinating, isn't it? And then when you start to look up, where did this idea of nature versus nurture come from? Where did these personality trait ideas come from? They all kind of converge back to the birth of psychology in the 1880s, 1890s. So immediately I had this idea, there must be a novel in this very fertile territory of time and ideas. And so gradually, layer upon layer, the characters and the themes and the story wove together.
Fantastic. I have to say, I highly recommend it. And for me personally, it has a lot of resonation, this nature versus nurture thing, because I was adopted.
And
I have met my birth mother.
Ah, how interesting.
And, you know, I remember speaking with my adoptive mother about this. And her theory was that nature brings out what is sort of inherit and nurture. And I definitely, from what I understand of my birth parents, there's definite, you know, proclivities, shall we say, and characteristics. And yet, the choices I made, regardless of whether they're preordained hereditarily, they were different situations I was in because of nurture.
Exactly.
You know, and it's really, it's a very complex thing. And then it goes to identity. And I think that's what Cora,
yes,
has to discover.
I mean, the key, end. You know, area of modern research that I looked into for the book was into twin studies, and particularly about twins, separated twins.
Have you seen Three Identical Strangers?
I wish I had.
Yes,
I keep
well, that was
looking.
My same adoption agency.
Ah, that's
yes,
amazing.
It is a fascinating watch, an
yes.
absolute must watch. Can't give
yes.
any spoilers on that.
No.
Because you will be... It is,
I'm desperate to see it, but it's had a limited release, and I hope, yeah, soon.
Well, it has a particular angle for your book that you will be interested in. So
I'm
those
sure.
two spoilers I'm not giving away.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so one, Radio Gorgeous listeners, go get the book, which is out March 21st.
Correct.
And also, I think Three Identical Strangers will turn up on Netflix.
It
but
will,
if not,
yes.
there is a Radio Gorgeous interview with the director.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Tim Wardle
okay.
on our website.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Carolyn Kirby.
Thank you.
And for other fascinating women and some men, go to www.radiogorgeous.com.